This is Hockey Primetime on the SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. My name is Connor McKenna. You can listen to the show at HockeyPrimetime.com. Just go to the website. Type it into your browser bar once you've logged on to the web, you know, and go check it out. You can listen to the show. You can check out past episodes and past interviews there as well. It's a beautiful website. My name's Connor, and we're here with Laura Sava. She's the producer of the program. She's the one who put this together today. Booked our guests, including our next one. His name is Russ Cohen. He's a hockey writer. He's a draft expert. You can read his work, and you can read him at sportsology.com. You can go to NHL.com and read his work, CSNPhilly.com, and so on and so forth. We want to talk draft. It's just a couple of days away. No one I'd rather do it with than Russ Cohen. How you doing, man?
Good, Connor. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and looking forward to the draft this week. There's always so much talk about, it seems like we always want to debate about the top two guys, and this year is certainly no exception with Austin Matthews and Patrick Laine impressing in the lead-up to the draft and having such terrific seasons in their respective leagues in the last year. So let me ask you this. If you're Brendan Shanahan and the brain trust of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are you taking first overall?
They've already picked Austin Matthews. Mike Babcock's already signed off on it. They've already printed up jerseys. They're just waiting. Like, it's just, the difference is, look, I love Patrick Laine. I love the way he is super confident. If I were in the draft and I were in his position, I would say I'm the best player too. Why wouldn't you? But at the end of the day, Austin Matthews has always played up to the competition too. He's always played younger. I scouted him at about 15 and he was the best guy in the tournament. At that point, I wasn't even going to look at him. I was going to look at other guys. And he's a centerman. At the end of the day, if you can get a big, dominating centerman like that, that you feel like you could do, and it's not like the Leafs need to do more marketing, but if you could sell more, you could sell more, and they could sell a lot more with Austin Matthews than they can with Patrick Laine.
Last year with Connor McDavid, one of the things that always stood out to me in the lead-up to the draft was people talking about how he was the best prospect to come along since, I believe it was Sidney Crosby, and maybe even better than Sidney Crosby, and talking about how in any draft since the Crosby draft in 05, McDavid would have been the player who went first overall. I haven't really heard anything like that about Matthews. So can you provide any kind of perspective when it comes to that?
Well, the perspective I provide is I don't think McDavid's better than Crosby. I think Crosby is the best guy that I've been able to watch pre-NHL in the time I've been doing it, well over 10 years, more like 15. But I would say Matthews would have been second in last year's draft. He would have been second to McDavid. He's not McDavid, but he's got a lot of other attributes that are still great, and he's already got a pro body where McDavid's sort of still rounding out that body. Imagine when he gets, you know, stronger. And so Matthews, I think, is faster than McDavid, but I think McDavid just has this innate sense of the way he's able to pass and the way he's able to see players that we don't even see open that even Matthews doesn't have, but he has a little of it. And he's got enough of it that I would say he's better than Jack Eichel, number two overall.
All right, we're talking to NHL Draft with Russ Cohen, a Sportsology on Twitter, at Sportsology. And let's see here. So we talk about the guy at the top end of the draft. That's fine. What about the draft itself? And I know that you can add the caveat here that obviously it takes years to really know how good of a draft any given draft was. But what sense do you have at this point, Russ, as far as how good of a draft we're looking at this year across the board, the overall quality of the pool?
Sure. It's not as good as last year's draft. I think the first dip you take is when you get to about the 13th pick. Once you hit the 13th pick, you hit a little dip. I think after the first round, then you'll hit another little dip. What I always sort of like to talk about with this draft is, if you talk about management, you know, I like to talk about Ole Olevi and Jacob Chychrun and Miguel Zibanejad, and you want to include Fabro and Dean and McAvoy in that group, I'm okay with that. But then after that, when you start talking about defensemen like Logan Stanley and other guys like that, I think you're working with guys that definitely are NHLers but have more things to work on. And so I think as you get further on the draft, like this kid Adam Fox, who will go in the second round, probably will be an excellent defenseman. But he has a few things to work on. He's got to get a little bigger, a little stronger, but he's got everything else. I think there's a lot of those guys, and that's what made last year's draft better. You literally could blindly pick 1 through 30 and not have a problem at all. Just like, you know, if you're after 12, you might get a guy still in the first round that's a little bit of a project, but not a huge project.
When it comes to the combine that we had a couple of weeks ago there, I know, I mean, it's not like the NFL in the sense that a guy's stock will rise or fall all that dramatically based on, you know, his 40 time or something like that. But did much change at the combine? Was there somebody whose numbers sort of stood out and really did raise his stock? Was there anybody who had a really good combine?
Yeah, I think Lucas Johansson, and everybody sort of looked at him and said, well, you know, we know he's Ryan's brother. We know he's a really good offensive defenseman for Kelowna. But he's very skinny. How much more weight or strength did he put on? And yet he did 11 pull-ups. So, like, for a long time, his number held. And it was one of the better numbers. Then eventually later in the combine, it sort of became, like, in the middle. But that's something that I think was unexpected. Samuel Girard is a defenseman that I think is completely overlooked. Plays in the queue. If you would have told me going into the draft this 5'10" defenseman was going to be the strongest guy pound for pound on the weight bench, on the bench press, I would have been a little bit surprised, but he was. And so look at that and say, all right, well, then maybe we have to sort of look past, maybe teams will look past that bias of someone being small and say, okay, there's something there. The Sunday story is kind of interesting because he's 230. He's a better 230. Nobody really talked about the fact that he did really well on the wingate and was one of the better guys in handling fatigue. And everybody sort of pointed out the obvious, like, hey, he's still 230. Hey, he was like a, you know, he's an exceptional status. Hey, he was supposed to be in the top 10 and he's not going to be. But he did do those things. So I think he has now dedicated himself enough to get drafted where I think there was a little question maybe 2 months ago whether he was even going to be drafted and he had fallen that far off. So I think he helped himself as well.
Logan Brown, who I know at Sportsology.com, looking at your top 30, I believe it's the most recent edition you had at number 10.
It's the second most recent. The most recent we have on the radio, but it's really close.
So 6'6", 218. I know that a lot of general managers are going to fall in love with those numbers, a big, tall guy. However, I think about it, and you wonder – how effective of a with space being at such a premium in today's NHL, Russ, you know, I think of Nick Bjugstad in Florida. I mean, it's worked for him, but guys that big can have difficulty handling the puck at that level. Is that at all a concern with him?
No, he's a really good puck handler. Actually, I asked him one of the tougher questions at the under-18s is, like, how do you deal with someone who says, hey, he's fast for a big guy? I said, do you get really mad or upset? And he goes, well, I don't get upset. And he, you know, and he tempered it, but you can tell he doesn't like it because he actually has really good speed for a guy any size. So I think I did a mock draft for a company, and I actually had him go fifth to Vancouver because I think looking at Vancouver's situation, with all things being sort of equal, after Matthews, he's like the next big center with a lot of talent. And nowadays, center and defensemen get a lot of looks in this league, and his dad, Jeff, played in the NHL. He was bigger than his dad in high school. That he sort of laughed about that when I talked to him about it because, you know, his dad's like 6'1". He's like 6'1". I was like 6'1 in like 11th grade, you know. Like, but he's a really good kid. Like, he really understands the game on and off the ice. He already sort of handles it like a pro. Like, I'm interviewing Ekblad when he was with Barry, and I was very impressed with the way he sort of understood everything right off the bat at that age. Me at that age, I never would have been that professional. He was, and so was Brown. So it wouldn't shock me if Brown somehow, a team falls in love with him and says, you know what, maybe he's not the top 10 guy that some think he is, but we need this guy.
How important is size, do you think? Or maybe the question that I'm trying to ask here is not how important size is, but how important is it not to fall in love with size, especially knowing what we do about today's National Hockey League? We see guys like Johnny Gaudreau. We see guys like Tyler Johnson who are able to be dominant players despite the fact that, you know, they're, from a traditional sense, not built like prototypical hockey players. What do you I mean, if you're in charge of a team, Russ, if you're giving recommendations to a general manager, how do you balance that?
Well, I think the power forward is sort of like the pink unicorn in the NHL. Every team wants one. Every team wants to draft one and eventually does, or two or three. But those guys take longer, right? There's more things in their game. There's more things in their shot. They're bigger. It's just, for whatever reason, the skating takes longer. It all seems to take longer. I mean, they're just an absolute prodigy. And I fall in love with just size. But the way I always say it is, if you've got two comparables, if you have, like, let's just say for two players, if it's, you're worried about if you're going to draft Austin Matthews or you're going to draft Clayton Keller, you know, both have set records for the NTDB for points. Both have done great things. One's 6'2", one's 5'10". All right, you know what? I got to go with the 6'2", 200 guy because I think everything else is equal. But that's only if everything's equal. Like me, I would draft Clayton Keller ahead of a lot of other taller, bigger, stronger guys because I've watched him master on faceoffs against stronger players. I've watched him just be impossible to catch. Like, defensemen don't know what to do with him. They can't seem to catch him. He's always a step ahead. He's got that IQ. He's got the great shot, but he's also a playmaker. And so when I see someone like that, or even someone like Sam Smart, guys like that who are a little smaller, Abramoff is another guy that falls into that. I have to look at that and say, okay, the league has changed. Can I use a guy like this? And you can. You can't have a line full of them. It can't be like the Smart back in the Ranger days with Herb Brooks. But I think if you have two of those guys on a line with a bigger player, you definitely can do it.
It's going to be fun to watch, and I know you're excited for it. A big week ahead for you. And what are you up to right now, Russ?
Right now, I'm at a Met game. So I'm hoping the Mets don't get swept.
All right, man. Well, I'll let you get back to it. Thanks for taking time out of your day. Enjoy the game, and good luck to your Mets.
All right. Thanks, Connor.
That's Russ Cohen at Sportsology on Twitter and on Instagram and at that as well. And that's how I know, because I saw a picture of Citi Field that Russ, I'm like, geez, the guy's at the ball game. It's not the first time we've done that. It's not the first time we've had a guest on the show who was at a ball game at the time. I remember Dennis Bernstein joining us from, I guess it was AT&T in San Francisco, one of the great ballparks around Major League Baseball. Always fun and great. I mean, geez, it's very nice of Russ. He's at a ball game on a Sunday afternoon, and he's joining us here on Hockey Primetime. It's very kind. Coming up next, let's talk to James Myrtle. What a great piece he had at the Globe and Mail, globesports.com, about Austin Matthews and his unusual path to the National Hockey League. We'll talk a little bit about Matthews, who, as Russ just told us, he's already a Leaf. The decision's been made, according to Russ, and Austin Matthews is coming to Toronto, and I know Leafs fans are very excited about this. First number one pick since 1985, and it looks like he's going to be a special one. So we'll explore that. We'll talk to Leafs offseason as well. Coming up next here on Hockey Primetime with James Myrtle.